The tide begins to turn. At the time testimony number 6 went into the field in late February and early March, there was considerable turmoil in the churches, caused by resistance to the steps being taken by James and Ellen White to bring about organization. The suspicions and feelings in parts of the field were reflected in the remarks made by a believer in one of the eastern states to J.H. Wagoner, a corresponding editor of the Review. This person asked me how the Review office was held, and by whom owned. I explained to him the circumstances. He appeared to be pleased to get the correct information, and said that a man in the state of New York told him that Elder White was a designing man, that he had induced the Friends of the Cause to contribute funds to establish the office, they supposing that it belonged to the church, but it now turned out that he owned it all. The Review and Herald, March 19, 1870. Feelings of suspicion, whispered by one to another, contributed largely to the discouragement of James and Ellen White. Testimony number 6 shook the church into an awakening. As ministers and laymen examined their own hearts, an outpouring of confessions were sent for publication in the Review, appearing over a period of many months. The first was from corresponding editor R.F. Cottrell in New York State, published in the issue of March 12 and addressed to the brethren. It was he that had set the negative tone in the discussion over organization that swept through the church. It was he that Ellen White first personally addressed in testimony number 6. Note Cottrell's penitent words. I wish to counteract and remove, as far as possible, the injurious influence of my hasty communication on the subject of legal organization. I did not weigh the matter as I should. I ought to have considered that Brother White had seen the necessity of some measures being taken, and had pondered the subject well, before making the request he did concerning it. Then I might have suggested a plan of organization avoiding the evil which I feared, instead of thus confidently and self-complacently recommending that nothing be done. I regret that I did not consider the matter carefully and prayerfully, before writing in a manner not calculated to keep the unity of the Spirit. I hope that none will stumble over this into perdition. I ask forgiveness of all the dear people of God. I hope that God Himself will forgive me. And I also hope that the lesson that I have thus dearly learned may never be forgotten by me, while there is danger of my falling into a similar error. My determination is to renew my consecration to God in His cause, and strive to press onward till the victory is gained. Brethren, pray for me. Ibid, March 12, 1861. The next confession appeared a week later. It was titled Note from Brother Ingram. Brother Smith, I have received testimony for the church, number 6, and have read it through. Its truths are most cutting and the reproofs given are timely. I prize the work much, especially that portion which has reference to myself. I shall heed the instruction given, and by the grace of God bear a plain testimony against evil in every form in the church. God is calling upon the ministry to make straight work in the proclamation of the truth. Let us arise at once and take hold of this great work. Ibid, March 19, 1861. He wrote of his feeling that something had to be done toward legal organization, but when a practical plan was presented, calculated to bring the church into a right position, he was afraid of it. Continuing his favorable argument, he asks, how can a church numbering 144,000, or half that number, be managed in business matters without the strictest adherence to legal proceedings? We must be straight upon this point, or go to pieces. He asked the pardon of his brethren for not acting in a prompt manner in unison with them. J. N. Loughborough, who had worked very closely with James and Ellen White but who in testimony number 6 was reproved for shallow work in evangelism, confessed. Dear brethren and sisters, I would hereby state that I have read testimony for the church number 6, especially that portion which has reference to labors in Parkville, Michigan. The testimony covering the first introduction of the truth into that place in a smooth manner is true. I deeply mourn that I have ever been left to thus cripple my testimony, and bring leanness into my own soul. I trust I shall have strength from God in future to bear the straight testimony required by the third angel's message. In hope of overcoming. J. N. Loughborough. Ibid, April 30, 1861. So it went from issue to issue through the weeks preceding the important conference to be held in Battle Creek, April 26 to 29. Those attending that meeting came with tender and united hearts. In a letter written May 4 to Lucinda Hall, Ellen White described what took place. Our conference was interesting from the commencement to the close. I wish you could have been present. It was a stirring, deep-feeling meeting. Ministers and people sought to make thorough work, that they might be fitted up and prepared to engage in this work of God with all their energies. Wrongs were not passed over lightly. They were sought for, dug out, and the individuals were not released until they had made clean work. After giving a little more home news and expressing pleasure that Lucinda, a lover of the garden, was coming soon to see them, Ellen closed her letter, "Lucinda, if you come to see me, bring me some peonies if you have them. In much love." It seemed that better days were ahead.